O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is God's word.
Let's turn again to the scriptures, to the word of God, and hear God speak to us through it. May the Spirit of God give us ears to hear and hearts to respond in faith and obedience. Hebrews chapter 1. Wayne's going to read for us.
Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. And you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever.
O Lord our God, you are an amazing God who has created us to bear your image and to share in your love and salvation. As we continue to read your word and consider it for our lives, we are amazed that you have called us to be your own children and priests to the nations. You have shown us great and truly amazing things, especially in your Son, Jesus. He showed gentle compassion to sinners, even forgiving their sins. He showed great command over the elements that we often grumble about. He lifted up the downtrodden and exalted the humble. He gave himself to bring us into your kingdom, to have your wrath turned away from us and your peace to rest upon us. Renew us today by your word and grow us in knowledge of your ways and truth. Let us be like Jesus. He loved you and enjoyed fellowship with day and night. We pray for your peace and for glad hearts to serve you and your people. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage from Hebrews chapter 1 is very clearly structured to demonstrate how Jesus is simply better. Better, in this case, than the angels of God. As you read verses 5 to 14, you quickly discover that the author moves from discussing the Son in verses 5 to 6, then discussing the angels in verse 7, back to the Son again in verses 8 through to 13, and then finally to the angels in verse 14. In other words, he is running back and forth between the Son and the angels, making a comparison that really is no comparison at all. The angels were held as highly regarded and highly honored messengers of God. We will hear how Jesus is more. Firstly, Jesus has inherited a more excellent name. It is a name that comes from being the Son. Not only are his works more excellent in creating the heavens and the earth at the voice of his command, in reflecting the exact nature and qualities of God in all that he did, but he also made purification of sins and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul tells us that his name is elevated above all names. He wrote, "God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus has inherited a more excellent name than the angels, whom he created, by the way. And to which of all the angels did God ever say, as in verses 5 and 6, "You are my son, today I have become your father." Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son." And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Now, in considering what it means to be a son, Don Carson explains sonship in the following way. Sonship language in Scripture is really quite different from the way we use sonship now. You see, nowadays, a few men do vocationally what their fathers did. Whereas in the pre-industrial agrarian handcraft society, almost all sons would do what their fathers did, and their daughters did what their mothers did. Your father is a baker, you baked bread, or whatever they bake. That's the way it is. You learned your craft, you learned your trade, you learned what you did for all of your life from your parents. You learn the lessons of life out in the field. And if your father's name is Stradivarius, well, you build violins. You're identified by what you do, by the whole family occupation of what you do. That functional use then of sonship becomes very strong when you consider the scriptures. Jesus used it both positively and negatively. Positively, he can say, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." He doesn't mean that that's how you become a Christian. He says rather that God is the supreme peacemaker, and insofar as we make peace, we're acting like God. And functionally, that is explained by saying that God is our Father. Or in the same vein, because God sends rain and sun upon the just and the unjust, therefore we love our enemies and we're acting like God. That way we'll be sons of our Father in heaven. It doesn't say how we become Christians. That's not the point. The point is that conduct, functionality, shows paternity. Jesus could also use it negatively by saying that you're acting like your parents. And that's why he could call some of the people, you are sons of Belial or sons of falsehood. What he's really saying is that you are clearly misleading liars. And the only explanation for what you are doing and how you are saying it is that your father is the leader, the fatherhood of falsehood. And as such, we can reflect the character of God. And we ought to if we are his sons, his daughters. Rather precisely, because Jesus died and paid the price of our sin and rose again, and in consequence was exalted to the right hand of God, so that all of God's mediatorial authority is through him. All of his sovereignty is mediated through him. He is the mediatorial king. He must reign until the very end. He upholds all things through his powerful word, and all of his functions as Christ come to their climax out of this victory. He is the great high priest. His sacrifice is sufficient. He is the coming king. He is the returning king. He is himself because of the death that he died, the one who bleeds his own blood before the Father. All of this comes out of this great event of his death on the cross and of his resurrection. And so in answer to the author's question, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? The answer is none. Not they, but he. Jesus is the Son. And then in verse 6 when it says, and again when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. You might recall the message of the angels in Luke chapter 2. On the night when Jesus was born of Mary, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. They worshipped. They worshipped the Son with great joy because he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God who came down in human form, fully God and fully man. He would bring salvation to those on whom God's blessing would rest, to believers who were effectually called and confessed Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father in heaven. Jesus is better. For the angels can do nothing of those amazing things that Jesus has done in effectually bringing salvation to mankind. Rather, have a look at verse 7. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. Important for communicating the messages of God, but they cannot bring us nearer to God like what the Son has done. Jesus is better. Immediately the author swings back to delighting in what the Son has done in verses 8 through to 13. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. For you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? The Son is elevated, not just as a man who died on the cross. Important as that is to the plan of God for our salvation. No, the Son rather is declared to be the King whose kingdom will never end. He loves righteousness and hates wickedness. Unlike every other king whose reign only lasts as long as he lives, or she lives, Jesus' reign will last forever because he is resurrected, never to die again. He is eternal, and his kingdom will have no end. Even the world we live in has a limited tenure. The works of creation will come to an end, much like the clothes we wear. It will be rolled up and changed to be made new. But the Son will never run out of years. His years will not come to an end. For as the author asks in verse 13, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? All enemies, even death, will succumb and worship the Son. He is Jesus the Christ. After he was resurrected, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right side of the Father in heaven. Oh, listen to what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, even as they stoned him to death. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. No angel is exalted like the Son. That is why we need to pay close attention to Jesus and what he teaches us, lest we drift away from the one who saves and has the name that is above all names. The angels may be ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. But Jesus, as we shall see as we dive further into this book of Hebrews, is better. He will bring us to the Father in glory and power. No one can do that but Jesus alone. Let us pray. O Lord our God, he is exalted. The King is exalted on high. His name is lifted up that all who come to him in humble repentance will be lifted up and given the honor and privilege of being a child of the living God. Let us rejoice in him and be glad in him. Let our love not grow cold or our zeal for serving him decline. Let us kiss the Son and the multitude of our transgressions be removed and forgiven. Let him be our Saviour and his good news be our greatest joy. For we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.